Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.
How old are you?
If I'd been out till quarter to three, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And are you a Beatles fan? As it happens, doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 64 or 67, as Paul McCartney turned earlier this year, or you can be 18. Chances are you're a Beatles fan. Did you see the results of that recent Pew survey on musical tastes here in the U.S.? Turns out roughly half of Americans say they like the Beatles a lot, and 8 in 10 say they like them at least a little. We'll get to the 20% who apparently hate the Beatles in a bit, but the main reason for these results seems to be the fact that the Beatles are almost universally liked across generations. Ages 16 to 25 are just as big fans of the Fab Four as those ages 65 and older, with just under 50% of those groups saying they like the Beatles a lot. And no surprise, those who grew up in the middle of Beatlemania, ages 50 to 64, are still the biggest fans, with 65% saying they like them a lot. Add to this the release of Beatles Rock Band, the video game that is sure to introduce lots of younger folks to the act, and it's clear that the Beatles are probably the most persistently popular cultural phenomenon out there. Well, joining us to discuss this is the man who wrote the book on the band. Yes, he wrote the book, Bob Spitz, author of The Beatles, The Biography. Bob, welcome to WNYC.
Brian, I'm delighted.
And I'll use up my quota of forced Beatles puns in my first question and ask, how is it that the band is still here, there, and everywhere? Are you surprised?
Yes, that's unforgivable. I'm not surprised. Actually, when my book came out, the publisher asked me to write a children's book based on the Beatles, and we wrote it for ages 8 to 12 and sold hundreds of copies of it. So they actually missed a generation when they did that Pew poll, because we found that kids 6 to 12 as well love the Beatles, which really widens that span. Not surprised at all.
So listeners, let's hear about your relationship with the Beatles, and in particular, two groups. If you're under 30 and love the Beatles, call in. You know what? I asked my 11-year-old the other day after I read this, who's your favorite rock band? The Beatles. And if you're between 50 and 64, that sweet spot of popularity, but hate the Beatles, there are 30% of you out there in that category, apparently, or 20%. The rest of you can post your Beatles love letters to WNYC.org, but let's target those two groups. If you're under 30 and love the Beatles, call in and tell us why you don't consider them yesterday's news that, you know, you want to kind of overthrow with your parents' generation. 212-433-WNYC. And if you're a baby boomer who just never got it, how about that contrarian voice? 212-433-9692. And let's localize this a bit, too, because while the Pew poll was a national survey, the Beatles have a significant New York City connection, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame annex located here in New York has an exhibit up right now on John Lennon's New York years. So also with us is Jim Henke, Vice President of Exhibitions and Curatorial Affairs at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hi, Jim. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
What's the goal of this exhibit? Do you feel as if the New York aspect of John Lennon and the Beatles is less known?
Well, we just thought it was something, you know, when we built our annex in New York, we wanted things that would, you know, appeal to a New York audience. And John spent from 1971 until his death in 1980, spent most of those years in New York. And always said that, you know, he was born in Liverpool, but the city he really loved was New York. And we thought it made a lot of sense to sort of, you know, look into those years and see what he did while he was there.
Bob Spitz, any opinion on the effect of Rock Band, the new release, on their popularity? Have you played it yourself?
I haven't played it myself yet, but I've seen it walking out of the stores, and usually it's younger kids, but I've seen a number of adults fiddling with it in the stores as well. And I think it's sparking a whole new interest in the Beatles once again.
Let's take a story at least about one of those contrarians and a young fan all in one call. Jimmy in Putnam Valley are on WNYC. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you you doing?
Good. You Beatles? How old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
Beatles fan?
They're my favorite band.
How come?
I don't know. It's something from when I was little. I don't know where I picked it up. I used to play the drums, and my grandfather taught me how to play the drums. And he used to tell me how bad of a drummer Ringo Starr was, and I kind of researched it myself, and then and I clearly disagreed, and I just started I picked up a book, Drumming with the Beatles, and I just learned all their songs on the drums, and my mom likes them, but my father, like, hates them. He's big into, like, hard rock. He's been to, like, a million concerts, like, 70s rock, and he hated them, and I don't know. I just kind of went the other way on it. They're my favorite band.
So you're 21, and your father hates the Beatles.
I wouldn't even go hate. He just says he just kind of feels like they're, like, bubblegum, like, pop stuff. That's just his opinion, I guess.
Guess he never listened to Strawberry Fields, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, he said the psychedelic stuff was okay, but he didn't really just never really was his thing.
Jimmy, thanks a lot for calling in. Jim Henke from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Addicts here in New York. What was it that attracted Lennon to New York? You said this was his favorite city. Wasn't from here. Why New York for him?
Well, I think he really liked sort of the, we're talking about the early 70s, and he really liked sort of the, working class feel of it. He liked the fact that it was on the water, like Liverpool, and he would come and visit a lot, and he also felt it was a place where he could walk around the city and wouldn't be bothered by people and stuff like that, and it's, I know he and Yoko did, would walk all over the place in Manhattan and stuff, and I think it just found it to be a very energetic place, and it also sort of reminded him of his hometown.
Jenny in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How old are you, if I may ask?
I'm 27.
And you like the Beatles?
I love the Beatles. They're one of my favorite bands. But growing up, I'm the youngest of four kids, and we never got along with anything. But the one thing we could always agree on with my parents on our long car rides for vacations was to listen to the Beatles, and we'd always be listening to Sgt. Pepper's album.
So it's got a nostalgia thing for you.
Sure.
Even though you're just 27.
Yeah.
All right, Jenny. Thanks a lot. Steven on our comments page, Bob Spitz, writes, crazy. When I was a kid in the 70s and my mom listened to 10 or 15-year-old Sinatra records, it sounded ancient. Please explain why the Beatles, some of it over 40 years old, still sounds modern and timeless.
Well, they were amazing musicians. The Beatles were very...
But so was Sinatra, and there was that generational divide.
But there was a new generation coming about, and it was a rock and roll generation. And the Beatles were a very, very easy entree into rock and roll. They had very universal lyrics. They had gorgeous harmonies, beautiful melodies, and they looked the part. I mean, they really set the tone for everything that we became. Their looks, the way they were. Their views about politics, drugs, everything.
And that was a generation in time. But Jim Henke, maybe the common denominator here is electricity. I mean, you're with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I went to the Cleveland one for the first time this year, and it was so much fun. And what I really liked the best about it was the really old kind of pre-rock, pre-history stuff where you can listen to tracks and see some of the exhibits with the evolution into the electric era. And so something really changed when music plugged in, and music hasn't unplugged, or isn't there isn't some new technology beyond electricity now. So maybe it's just the time changed around 1950, 1960 in a way that's still current that makes it different from that listener and his parents listening to Sinatra.
I think that might be some of it, and I also think that as Bob was saying, the Beatles just sort of find that one generation that I grew up in as well, and I think they, because there was a period before the Beatles where Elvis had been really big and broken through, and then he went into the military, and Buddy Holly died, and there were various other, a lot of the big 50s rock stars were just suddenly missing in action, and people thought rock and roll was dead, and then sort of the Beatles come on and they play Ed Sullivan and all that, and suddenly rock and roll's bursting again, and it's now it's continued for it's continued to be the most popular music form.
Leah in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Leah.
Hi. I actually found out about the Beatles when I was about 8 years old living in Mississippi, and it was like a spiritual awakening because I was 8 years old. I was listening to the Spice Girls at the time, so I've just never looked back since. And now I work in the equipment room of Hofstra University, renting out film equipment and that kind of thing. And the only thing we can collectively agree on to play over the speakers is the Beatles.
Huh. How old are you now?
I'm 20.
And what era Beatles? I mean, certain kinds of Beatles? Is it, you know, it's not Revolution Number 9.
When I was a kid, I was really into a lot of the earlier stuff. Yellow Submarine is really, the film itself, it's really what captured my attention. And then I came home one day and I was like, Dad, have you ever heard of this band, the Beatles? And he was just like, oh, I thought you would never ask. And so he introduced me to the White Album. And from there, I just have this enormous collection of the Beatles in my iTunes now.
Leah, thanks for calling.
Brian, I just want to point out, I think that it's very interesting that young people can listen to the Beatles in a very simple way, but as you get older, you find that there are many, many more complex things to listen to in their music. You discover the White Album. You go back and you listen to, you know, some of their more extraordinary things that they put together. So you can evolve, as you evolve in your musical taste, you can evolve with the Beatles as well. And I think it's one of the reasons that maybe some adults have stayed on and stayed with the Beatles for
Could
so
be,
long.
As they evolved, and not all musicians do, not all acts do. Sometimes they come in, usually I think they come in with whatever their sound is, and that's the sound that they stay with for the rest of their lives, and they do oldies tours if they stay together that long, and it's that sound. And the Beatles kept being experimental. They kept trying to change their sound, and I think that was one of the unique things about them that also kind of went with that time.
And they were extraordinary.
But yet it really is amazing in the short period of time that they were putting out albums. I mean, how the musical landscape that they covered is just, it's, you know, pretty incredible. There's very few other artists who can, you know, accomplish anything near that.
Jim, on John's New York years, they were his most, or at least among his most politically active years. Many people felt like the murder of Lennon was the final nail in the coffin of the 1960s. MLK, JFK, RFK, Malcolm X, you know, followed by the dark turn, Manson, Jim Jones, growth of weird cults, and then John Lennon's death in 1980. And yet the Beatles continue to be popular today. But is some of what your exhibit is on the political legacy of John Lennon as a New Yorker?
Yes, it does. It talks a lot about his, there's one section that deals with all of his anti-war activism and all that. It also deals with the fights he went through to get a green card to be able to stay in the United States. And but yeah, we definitely look at a lot of his political things, also all of his you know, things he did on behalf of feminism and things like that that he and Yoko worked on. So we definitely look at all those different aspects of his life here.
How do you reflect on New York in this exhibit? Obviously, you're loving up John Lennon. Are you loving up the city?
Well, pretty much, yeah. I mean, we try to show, you know, certainly in the introductory areas, we talk about, you know, what John liked about the city and how he felt about it, and, you know, and how productive he was during his time in New York, and, you know, and talk about the different places that they lived in New York and various stuff like that. So, you know, we do try to convey as much of that as we can.
The band had already broken up by then, but were the other Beatles as enamored with New York as John was, or did they get it about him and the city?
I think they did. Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if they were as enamored, but I think, you know, New York was always a place that they really liked, and, you know, they got their start on, you know, big breakthrough in the U.S. and the Sullivan Show there and all that. So, and they played the first band to really play a big outdoor stadium when they did Shea Stadium there. So it's like they certainly had a lot of New York connections.
I can add to that a little by means of Paul telling me that when he was dating Linda, that he used to love to walk around New York with her. They walked through Chinatown, they walked through Harlem, they went to a lot of movie theaters, and he also felt that New York gave him the ability to be himself without having to worry about crowds.
Eprof in Harlem is going to get the last word. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and I just wanted to say when I was growing up, I'm 28, my brother's 29, we got the Beatles fake book, and we used to play duets of like every Beatles track. I was playing the violin, and he would play the piano. It was super dorky, but we just, like, couldn't get enough of it.
You going to get Beatles Rock Band now?
Oh, I should, but I think I'll just stick to the violin.
Oh, there you go. Real instruments. How quaint. How quaint. Thank you for your call. And thanks very much to Jim Henke from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Annex here in New York, and also Bob Spitz, author of The Beatles, The Biography. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.